I'm Timothy Jacobs. I'm from California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo. And I'm going to be talking about the effect of sudden grass cover crop residues and soil solarization in Verticillium dahliae populations on organic strawberry production. So California strawberry production is a huge industry in California. It generates $3.1 billion per year. And we do this on only 38,000 acres. So we're able to do this by very intensely planting acreage and also growing on an annual strawberry system where we plant in October and harvest yields from March through July. So we have about 5 or 6 months for harvesting yields in just about a year-long growing season. It's a number four agricultural commodity in California behind cattle, grapes, and almonds. 90% of the United States strawberries are grown in California. And currently, organic acreage comprises about 13.1% of strawberry production in California. This is increasing, however, due to increasing demand for organic strawberries and also increasing restrictions on fumigations, which are commonly used to control pre-plant to control weeds and pathogens in conventional strawberry production. However, methyl bromide, which is our most commonly used fumigant, was banned in 2017 after years of being able to be used as a critical use exemption due to its emission of chlorofluorocarbons and inclusion in the Montreal Protocol. So it's important for the California strawberry industry to develop organic alternatives to soil disinfestation to, one, meet the needs of organic growers who don't have very many options for weeds and pathogen control in their crop, and the two, find sustainable alternatives to soil-borne fumigants, which have increasing costs and regulations every year. So one potential alternative is soil solarization. What this involves, you place a clear, thin polyethylene tarp over the surface of the soil, you irrigate that soil to field capacity, and that tarp captures solar radiation from the sun, transmits it into the soil, and this creates lethal temperatures for weeds and soil-borne pests. You generally apply this for about 4 to 6 weeks during the summer, and it's very useful in areas with warm, hot summers, such as the Central Valley of California or the Las Vegas Desert. Previous studies have shown limited effectiveness in coastal California strawberry production, however, due to the cooler summer temperatures we have in coastal California, where temperatures rarely exceed 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and also we get frequent foggy days in the summer. One idea to increase the efficacy of solarization is biosolarization. What this involves is you incorporate an organic amendment underneath the solarization tarp, and this will lead to hopefully increased efficacy due to volatile compounds being released from the degradation of organic amendments. This is also known as biofumigation, and solarization will trap these compounds in the soil, preventing their escape and also increase their penetration into the soil, creating ideally enhanced death for weeds, nematodes, and other soil-borne pests. So the organic amendment we chose for our experiment was pseudograss. It's a popular summer cover crop grown in many areas around the world, and it's also a popular forage crop. The reason we chose it is because it has two kind of chemical modes of action it uses to inhibit weeds and help control plant pathogens. But first, it's during its growth, its roots exude sorgoleone. This is an allele chemical which inhibits photosynthesis in seedlings and other plant seeds. It also contains gerin. Gerin hydrolyzes to hydrogen cyanide gas during pseudograss's decomposition. And this is pseudograss's biofumigant property and has been shown to be effective against root knot nematodes and a few pathogens. So the objectives for the experiment were to, one, determine if soil solarization would achieve effective temperatures without the incorporation of organic amendments in San Luis Obispo County strawberry production. Our second objective was we wanted to determine if pseudograss residues would increase the efficacy of solarization beyond that of that with no cover crops. And then our last objective was we wanted to test if incorporating a cover crop or leaving it as a mulch on the surface would result in better weed, pathogen, and strawberry control. The reason for including the mulch crop is we wanted to see if we could potentially create sort of a no-till strawberry system where we grow the summer crop during the summer and then use solarization as a way to kill that cover crop and then plant directly into that mulch without creating raised beds and It was just kind of innovative. We had idea to potentially induce a no-till strawberry system in California. So for experimental design, our experiments were conducted at Cal Poly Organic Farm. We had a split pot where we blocked on location with four replications. Our main plot were our cover crop treatments. Our first one, we mowed our pseudogyrus grass and left it on the surface as a mulch. Our next one, we mowed our pseudogyrus grass and then incorporated it into the soil. And then in our last, we had no cover crop. In each main plot, we had two subplots, one where we solarized and one where we did not solarize. And each subplot was one bed by 20 feet long. So just a quick timeline of what we did here. Because we planned our pseudogyrus grass so early, this is a technique which is more viable for organic growers who use a lettuce strawberry rotation system. This is pretty common among organic growers in California, just due to the long season that strawberry growers who continuously crop strawberries will grow for 10 months out of the year, and this you just can't grow a pseudogyrus cover crop and solarize in this time period. So what we did is in mid-May, we planted a pseudogyrus cover crop, and then we let it grow for 2 months, and in mid-July, we mowed and incorporated the cover crop, and then created beds in these plots. I'd like to note that no beds were created in mulch plots. On July 26, we applied our solarization plastic tarp, and then we irrigated the soil to field capacity, and we left that tarp on for a period of 5 weeks till the end of August. At the end of August, our tarps were removed, and we had a six-week period where we tested out weed biomass in our plots. Then after our weed biomass test, we re-tarped the plots with black plastic and planted our strawberries in late October. And all our statistics used a standard split pot analysis method using Proxy LM and SAS, and we used a protected Fisher's LSD for all our pairwise comparisons. So for soil temperatures, the average maximum soil temperature in our plot, solarized plots for cover crop incorporated and non-cover crop plots was 43 degrees Celsius. Cover crop mulch plots, because of the residue left by the mulch, it provided a gap in between the plastic and the soil, so this created temperatures on average about 2 to 3 degrees Celsius lower than our other solarized plots. All solarized plots resulted in temperatures 10 to 13 degrees Celsius higher than our control plot. So in terms of weed populations, this is a picture of one of our plots taken in October during our weed biomass collection period. At the top of the photo, you can see one of our plots which was non-solarized, and a very clear distinction in the bottom in our plot that was non-solarized. Pretty much right where you see the weeds growing, that's where the edge of our plastic was, and below that, it was all solarized. So there's a very clear distinction in between how solarization affected weed populations. We took weed biomass results in October, November, and December. And we found that pseudogyrus mulch tended to have lower weed populations than our other pseudogyrus and than our other cover crop plots. However, this was only significant in December. And our solarization treatments, they provide significant reduction of weed biomass from October through December for about a period of 3.5 months. After 3.5 months, we found that they were germinating at a similar rate in solarized plots as non-solarized plots, though. So in January, we actually had similar populations of weeds in solarized and non-solarized plots. So due to the long growing season of strawberries, growers would need to use additional control methods starting 3.5 months after their solarization tarp removal in order to control weeds throughout the growing period of strawberries. There was an important interaction I want to mention. Generally, we saw that non-solarized plots reduce weed populations more than solarized plots, and this is true in our non-cover crop and our pseudogyrus incorporated plots. However, in our pseudogyrus mulch plots at the bottom, we see that our pseudogyrus mulch non-solarized plot provided better weed control than our pseudogyrus mulch solarized plot. One reason for this is due to the lower temperatures we achieved in our pseudogyrus mulch solarized plot, but the primary reason for this is that we were unable to kill our pseudogyrus mulch where we didn't solarize until it winter killed in December. Because of this, we were planting into a living cover crop essentially in October, and this caused our strawberries to establish rather poorly, and so this is not a technique I would recommend for growers. So in terms of our cover crop effect, we took soil samples throughout the growing season of our cover crop and one soil sample before we applied solarization. In terms of our cover crop, there was no significant effect in how cover crops affected soil populations of Verticillium dahliae. However, with solarization, we saw a significant decrease in populations of Verticillium dahliae in September, November, and June. In January, we did not see a significant reduction. This is primarily due to increased variability in our non-solarized plot. Populations were actually very similar in January to the rest of the populations. In general, solarized populations had an average CFU per gram of around 2 to 4 CFU per gram of soil. And non-solarized plots had Verticillium populations of about 10 CFU per gram per soil. So how does this affect disease incidence? These are pictures taken in mid-May. The picture on your guys' right and my left is an example of one of our non-solarized plots taken in mid-May. So during this period, mid-May is the peak production season during our growing season. So this is ideally when you should be producing as much berries as possible. At this point, our non-solarized plots were actually producing zero berries as they were all very diseased and almost all entirely dead. Our solarized plot, which you can see on your bottom left, these plants are looking very healthy, and we got a lot of yield out of these plots. A month later, in June, this was taken at the end of our experiment. The picture on your left is the picture on your left is the non-solarized plot, and as you can see, almost everything is dead at this time in the year. In our solarized plot, you can see on your right, you can see that we did have some rates of disease incidence. This is because we had a Macrophemina infestation, which we did not necessarily anticipate. Macrophemina is a warm season pathogen, meaning it onsets late in the year, commonly in June. And it also has been shown in other studies to be more resistant to solarization temperatures. So what we found was that in our solarized plots, we actually had we had a little bit of disease incidence from Verticillium, but over half of our disease incidence was actually from Macrophemina in our solarized plots. However, I can't really draw conclusions on how solarization affected Macrophemina, as we did not draw populations from the soil. So that's an area that we would like to research further and kind of develop out further in the future. So in terms of yields, solarized plots had over triple the yields of non-solarized plots, and this was just a huge, massive difference. Is very significant. And for our cover crop, there were no significant effects, but we did notice that cover crop mulch plots tended to have higher yields than cover crop incorporated plots, which tended to have higher yields than non-cover crop plots. So to conclude really quickly, solarization was effective at reducing weeds, Verticillium populations, disease incidence, and increasing yields. Our student grass cover crops did not increase the efficacy of solarization. However, although non-significant, there was a trend that cover crop mulch plots perform better than cover crop incorporated plots, and they perform not better than non-cover crop plots. And indeed, cover crop mulch plots did provide better weed control than our other plots. So some ideas we have for further research is we would be interested in determining or looking further more into the cover crop mulch solarization treatment and seeing how this, if we can really develop a system where we can develop no-till strawberries and reduce weeds in the strawberry agro-ecosystem. It's important that we develop out the relationships between solarization and strawberry pathogens, such as Macrophemina, Verticillium, and Fusarium. We saw it was effective against Verticillium, but we don't really know how it affects Macrophemina or Fusarium in our region, although we did see some disease incidence of Macrophemina. And also, it would be interesting to test our technique against anaerobe soil disinfestation and incorporate other composts and other organic residues to try to increase the efficacy of solarization in California. And with that, I'd like to thank Organic Farm Research Foundation and Annie Sustainable Scholarship Program and Cal Poly Agriculture for helping fund my study. With that, I'll take any questions. I think I have like 30 seconds. Yes?
What were the common weed species across the trials?
We had pretty much two weed species, which comprised about 90% of our population. They were annual sow thistle and little mallow.
Okay.